show. 503-733-2970. 503. How you doing over there?
Good. And nothing in here is working today. After all the painters have manhandled everything, like nothing's in its proper spot.
I know that when we say that phrase, Jeff McGinley and some of the other assembled engineers leap into their engineer
mobile. Not the engineers. No, no, no.
No, no, no. I mean, the station is working, more or less. It's just that, they're engaged. No, a word like that. They're embarking. Yes, they have embarked upon this mission to paint and carpet and renovate the whole third floor here, where we are located. And so, one by one, every section of this building has been, they've ripped up the carpet, they painted everything, blah, 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 blah. So over the course of the week, and even this, and I'd like to say, by the way, that this, the CBS Radio Portland West, which is here where we are in the Coin Tower, is divided into two distinct segments. There is the sales area, which where all the salespeople hang out in their cubicles, and then there's the sort of demarcated, like the lobby zone, that sort of demilitarized zone. And then there's this side over here, which is where all the studios are and where all the talent is and so forth. And I'd like to thank whoever decided, whoever made the brilliant decision to paint this as stark mental asylum white.
Yeah.
It really was like, and I don't know whether
it
was...
And it's bad because then we have all the on-air lights out in the hallway, so when the on-air lights glow, it's like this creepy pink out there.
Seriously. You really feel like you're walking around inside Arkham Asylum. It really is unpleasant in every way. But I'll trade it for the fact that we got new, relatively stain-free carpet in here. But so the engineers...
It looks like the old carpet.
I keep saying the engineers, and I mean that. I don't think this is the old carpet. No, I think this is new. But I think it's maybe a new version of the old carpet, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I think it is the old carpet, but it's a new version of that. It's like a new swath, but the same pattern. Mm. I think it's the same design. I think... I think the old carpet might have just been so stained. I think it's like the walls before. I think the walls outside in the hallway might have actually just been so dirty that they appeared to be like beige. Maybe they were originally supposed to be white, but really it is just, yeah, you walk outside, it's like wandering around inside a giant tooth out there. It's just a blinding white everywhere you go. So, in any event, it's 503-733-2970. So here's what's coming up. So in this hour, we have Oregonian TV critic Peter Carlin. He'll be joining us at 1:30. We have Tim Riley, who will be returning from the returning to the Ministry of Truth. We have Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. We have to get to that because we've got tickets to LA Guns, which is happening this Thursday. And you know, I just on VH1 Classic the other day, and this is apropos of nothing, I saw the video for Ballad of Jane, and I know that those guys must get sick of playing that song. I'm really walking a fine line when if we have Tracy Guns on the show this week. I really do want to ask him if they just hate that song, if they're just so sick to the teeth of playing Ballad of Jane. But it really is, by power ballad standards, just a fantastic piece of writing. I saw the video for that. The video for that is still pretty amazing. So we'll ask him that this week. But we got a pair of tickets to LA Guns to be given away today, and I think we got like four or five pair this week. And then next hour, Sarah was just counting down in the break until we smash the toilet of listener Ryan, who called on Friday and spent about a good 2.5 hours trying to snake his... Is Scotty just gone? Would you see who's on the hotline, please?
Yeah.
The hotline is ringing, and Scotty doesn't appear to be, what's the word, here, in the strictest sense of the word.
Hey. Oh, hey, Scotty, I got it.
Oh, God. Now they've both picked up the phones. Here's the problem.
Oh, good. How are you, Ed?
Every time you pick up a phone here, no one else can pick up that same line in another room, or it just disconnects everything. We're not listening in. Here's a little bit of backstory.
No, no problem. Would you still send it? Come on.
Here's what we're discussing. It's that we booked Ed McCarthy this morning.
Well, no worries. I figured there might be
something. With CNN. And the CNN booker was reluctant to schedule Ed McCarthy on this program because...
What is it?
It was after his scheduled workday was over. And although Ed McCarthy is
okay, we'll call you right back.
A big fan of ours and willing to come on even outside his scheduled workday. You just hung up on whoever was on the other lines. The CNN people are reluctant to book him. And I'm not trying to be all about the glory of us, and like we're some, like I'm not trying to be like we're some rookie renegade cop who plays fast and loose with the rules or whatever. But I mean, there's we don't necessarily do things the way everybody else does it. So sometimes when there is a new employee at CNN, it takes them a little while to figure out that we don't schedule people the way everybody else does. So now we're...
I hate this phone!
Good times.
Good times.
I'll just wait here while we call it. Are we calling Ed? Because I don't want to start anything big if we're going to be getting Ed McCarthy.
Don't start anything. We're calling Ed right now.
All right. In the meantime, I'll just...
work the mojo. Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That filled the space amazingly. Ah, so to speak. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. From the South, our good friend CNN. Scotty, don't be snippy. There's no need to type snippy comments on the screen.
Oh, Scotty, about what?
Scotty, I said I could have gotten Ed McCarthy.
Oh, sure. That's why it was ringing and ringing, Scotty.
In your face. Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent in Atlanta. Hello, sir.
I am so sorry. A little mix up there, but we're here.
It's okay. Now, let me just say first and foremost, you never need to apologize for anything, Ed McCarthy. You are beyond reproach or above reproach, whatever that phrase is.
We have somebody filling in today and apparently did not have my cell phone, which I carry at all times.
That's okay.
I know
that sometimes we here at AM 970 in the Rick Emerson Show, we often operate in a way that is different than other people. And sometimes if there is a new employee, they don't always understand or grok, as Robert Heinlein would say, how we do things right away. It sometimes takes them a while. So we always appreciate the fact that you take time out of your busy day to share your journalistic insights with us, Ed McCarthy.
It's no problem. I was on the way back from the store.
Hey, fantastic. Excellent. Were you, now, I know they had Dick Iuliano down there, poor Dick who got sent down there for the space shuttle launch, which then, like, It happened 3 days later? How long did the space shuttle thing get delayed?
He always gets stranded down there whenever he goes. Last time, too. It was supposed to go Thursday, which was December 7th, Ed's birthday, and didn't go.
Hold on. When you say December 7th, then you said Ed's birthday.
That was me.
Excellent. Well, happy birthday, McCarthy.
Well, thank you.
You should have told it. We would have gotten you something nice and shiny.
Nice and shiny. I like it. Well, anyway, so he was supposed to go Thursday, didn't go Thursday, didn't go, and then they scheduled it for Saturday, and it did go Saturday. So he was, apparently he was on his way back yesterday, and he's off today. So
Here's a question, and I am not a scientist, and I don't know what science training or what space knowledge you may have, and so I don't mean to sound flip when I ask this, but I had somebody ask me this question over the weekend, thinking that I knew the answer, and I did not. Why is it so hard just to launch the damn shuttle on time? Now, I'm not trying to be flip because I know there have been some terrible accidents in the past and so forth and whatever.
Right.
But I mean, they've been doing it for like 25 years. I guess I don't understand what makes it. What is the thing that makes it so difficult to do? Because it seems like it gets delayed more often than not.
Yeah, I think they have clouds in the area and then they had winds. See, if they have a problem when the thing launches, and they have, various windows. I think it's like four opportunities or something to land it. They could take it around and land it back in Florida, or they could land it. There's one place in Spain where they can land it. Where else is it? They've got, they've got these timelines. And so anyway, the weather has to be good all the way around that area for to get it up and into space, to get it rolling. Otherwise, if they have an emergency, they have to go to plan B and plan C.
And then they're up there docking with the space station, and then this is what we I talked to Dick Iuliano about this, but this is one of the last missions because they're going to scrap this whole thing in 2010, and then we're going to be using some weird hinky Soviet or Russian spacecraft to get us to the space station and back after that.
Well, that's what they were doing that before. They were using the Russians to ferry them up there. But what they're doing now, they're bringing the German guy back, and they're bringing the woman that's on the shuttle that's going to, what's her name, Sunny, whatever. I know the name, and I can't think of it right now. But anyway, she's going to fill in for, it's a six-month stint. Can you imagine doing that? I really can't.
Well, the weird thing about that is just all the biological changes. Your brain must just start floating around, and your bones must turn all weird if you're up there in zero gravity. I mean, that's got to be weird on your body after about 6 months. I mean, yeah. You come back home and you're all wobbly and spongy and whatnot. And then of course the other story that we were joking about last hour is, and I thought this was a joke initially, because ever since the ill-fated exposure of Janet Jackson's bosom at the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
They've had this whole thing of trying to trend towards more family entertainment, and nothing screams family entertainment than a sex-crazed dwarf. So they have Prince, right? He's going to be the halftime act at the Super Bowl, which is in February, which is just bizarre. It makes you wonder if the people who book the halftime act bother to study the behavior and careers of the people they book.
They'll probably have a delay like you have on the show. What do you think?
Maybe. I've always wondered, actually, how that works, if there is, like, a video delay. Because here at the radio station, we have a 10-second
delay. There is a delay, because every time, I've covered these things, on the, they put up the little monitors up there, the TVs, and you'll see a play, and then, it'll be over, and then you'll see the play on the screen, which is, like, about 3 seconds delayed.
I've seen Prince. I don't think 3 seconds is enough. He is he is a strange little man, Ed McCarthy.
The entertainer, formerly known as Prince, now known as Prince again.
Here's a little secret between you and me. I called him Prince the whole time, just so you know. Don't spread
so
that
I.
around, but
so
just so you're aware. All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate the fact that you called us. I'm sorry for interrupting your day.
No problem. It's just we had a communication breakdown, or I would have been to you sooner there. I just felt bad about that.
Not at all, Ed McCarthy. It is always a glory and a pleasure to speak with you. You enjoy the rest of your Southern afternoon, my friend.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, there you go. Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent. I dig that guy. All right.
Me too.
That person at CNN's just going to have to learn how we do business here. Okay, let me just play a little bit. We have to talk about the Screech thing just a little bit, and then we'll be done with it. So I have this, let's see if I've got the, all right, there we go. Okay, so I want to make sure that I had this here. So this is, we had talked about the Dustin Diamond home sex videotape thing when it initially came out. And then I forget why we were even talking about it. I guess it's because they talked about it being released, and then TMZ had stills of it and, like, some video footage. And then we sort of forgot about it until it was sort of immediately faded from the public consciousness. And then it was gone. And then it was released, and Tom and Ken at Taboo Video dropped it off for us. So he dropped off three. He dropped off that, he dropped off the China one, and then he dropped off the Tom Sizemore one, mm-hmm. which it was incumbent upon you to watch, which you did not. But you and Nate are going to watch the Tom Sizemore one tonight, right?
Oh, well, Nate's actually sick, so I might end up watching it with one of my girlfriends.
So that's okay. I mean, as long as it...
I wasn't really looking forward to watching the Tom
Whatever
Sizemore
Whatever happened
porn
to that Jenna Jameson porn you took home?
I left it over at Lisa's house.
Did you even watch it?
No, they did.
See...
I don't know.
Hello.
I know. I think she said that she looked at a couple of minutes of it, and I'm like, oh,
see, no. See, that is totally, that's such a chick thing that you would, you know what it is? That would be like me having a box of Godiva chocolates that someone gave me, and just like, just leaving it in the store, just going home and tossing it on the sofa and forgetting about it. It's just the idea that you would take home some Jenna Jameson porn and then just, you know, maybe you've got it, maybe you don't, maybe you watch it, maybe you forgot. That made somewhere in your house, you don't know where it is. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a thing that men just can't.
Okay, I'll try and watch the Tom Sizemore one.
I'm not trying. I'm just saying, if only for the name Sizemore, you have to watch that. So I bit the bullet and watched the Screech one. And I just have to say that the overwhelming sense one comes away with is just that you're so very sad for him. It's just so pathetic. It's so sad. And look, I know he's famous and but apparently he doesn't have much money. I mean, he can't have, that's the thing. Even though he's famous, there's good famous and there's bad famous. And there is that sort of, well, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Maybe that's true, but there is such a thing as bad fame. And this must be it, because why else would he be doing this? You watch this Screech sex video and you just come away with just a whole sense of, just like, I never thought that I would feel sorry for Dustin Diamond, but you just wish you could push a button and make the whole thing undo itself, because you just feel bad for him. And didn't you say he was married, too?
Yeah, he's married, and him and his wife suffered a miscarriage, and so they started their own, some huge campaign about, like, making awareness of miscarriages. And it seemed like a really, like, wholesome, like, happy, healthy life with his wife. Not so much.
Maybe they have an understanding of some kind, or some sort of screechy arrangement. Screech got to do what Screech got to do. But so I watched this, and a couple things, and then I'll play the intro. I'm not going to play anything crude from it, but I'll play the little intro and the little outro here. Because he does that Fred Durst thing where he turns the camera and interviews himself at the beginning and then at the end. And I will say, he had tried to position this, because he claims he didn't leak it out. He claims he didn't release the tape, that it got out there, the methods unknown, that it wasn't from him. But you remember the cover story that he put out about this tape? That it was he is part of a
group of guys.
A group of guys who are in a tape swapping circle, where they make tapes of themselves and various exploits, and then they trade the tapes among themselves, and there's like, you know, and then they
get, like, as points for what things they do.
Yeah. And if you ever thought that that was true, watching this, you realize it's not. Because he, in the introduction, refers to this tape-sharing group of circle so many times Like, way more, because he claims that the tape was only ever meant for them to see. He claims that this tape was only ever meant for, like, his other group of dudes in the tape trading circle, that it was never meant to be seen by the public. And he refers to the existence of the tape trading circle, like, 1,000 times. Like, way more than you would ever do. That would be like if you and I were having lunch somewhere, just you and I just sitting on the street, Sarah and I having lunch, and if I constantly said, on the Rick Emerson program, which we do on AM 970, Solid State Radio, like, why would I ever say that? It just, you don't, if it's something that's known, you don't discuss it,
yeah,
you don't bring it up.
Yeah, you're making it for your friends.
Yeah, you don't even need to mention it, because clearly they all know what the tape is for. They're all part of this circle. So, and then, and then he refers to Mark at one point, and that's what's-his-name from Saved by the Bell, isn't it? Isn't that supposedly...
Mark Paul Gosselaar, but Brad the car guy is friends with Mark Paul, and they're not in contact.
See, and he never says Mark Paul Gosselaar, he just says Mark, and I think the implication is he wants you to think it's that guy.
Oh,
but
probably.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's,
well, Brad is friends with him, and he just hung up Mark Paul Gosselaar, like, last week.
It's so
they
creepy.
They do not know each other anymore.
And so the setup for this tape is that, again, that it's for this internal tape trading circle, and the setup for the particular encounters shown on this tape are that he, Screech, was doing a stand-up gig somewhere, and that the women in the audience were so impressed by it. One of whom is a bridesmaid, by the, or a
Was
bride.
It a bride and a bridesmaid?
A bride and a bridesmaid. A woman who's about to be married. And then, like, you know, her, and then she got the bridesmaids, like, it's a bachelorette party. The girl who's about to be married, like, her one final fling before marriage is with Screech. And she was so taken by his stand-up routine that she let him come up to their hotel room and, like, do her and the bridesmaid and film the whole thing. Which seems really likely. That seems like it would probably happen all the time. So let me just play a little bit of the intro here. Where he refers to himself as the D-Man.
Hey, it's the D-Man here checking in with the Brotherhood of the Bros. I've got something special tonight for our little club. Apparently, Bachelorettes, you know how they love the comedy shows, which they went great tonight, both shows. Thank you for asking, because I know you care. But I have something special tonight, especially for Mark. Bro, I'm going to top anything any of us have done yet for our little group. Bachelorette party is...
Our little group, which doesn't exist.
That's three times so far.
Yeah.
...invited me upstairs at this very hotel to the suites. And the bride-to-be and one of her bridesmaids, possibly two, I don't know yet, are going to be hanging out tonight. The other girls are going to go out and hit up some bars. But the other two want to hang out with me. So we're going to see how this goes. I'm going to bring the camera along. Hopefully I'll get to use it. And if it does, I'll score some big points. And you guys will score some big laughs. Let the party begin.
All right, here's the thing.
That's so gross.
It is. It's repellent. It is. It's repellent in every on every sense, on every level. It's just...
Mm.
And the I have to say, and just having spent a number of years with actors and with people who were entertainers on the radio, musicians, you know, everything from, you know, doing plays of my own to whatever, to drama class, to knowing people who made movies... I can tell when someone is doing bad improv. I can tell when someone is doing, when someone is feigning that they are speaking off the cuff. That he's just sort of, I'm just sort of saying whatever comes to my head. I can tell when someone is doing a monologue that is scripted, that is planned out, but is supposed to be sounding casual. And that's exactly what that is. I mean, every syllable of that delivery screams like,
please
I'm...
Please tell me you have more.
I do. I have the outro. Well, okay, so
do you have any with him talking to the girls or anything?
I don't because I just, frankly, I just couldn't stomach. I couldn't bring myself to watch it and go back and edit it all down. And it was just... The only thing I've got is just a girl twirling around the room doing a little striptease for him. One of the brides, I mean, and he's just doing, and it's like, it's just so retarded.
Mm.
And then she's...
Work the mojo, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Who says work the mojo?
That's the, and it's full of,
I thought
like...
Was he saying that to the girl?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was something like, that men were
she's like shaking the water, she's shaking what the good Lord give her, and he's doing a whole lot of, we're working for the D-Man. And he does this at one point. He's walking in. There's people calling in. I'm horrified that I'm still talking about this. But he walks. I know that you find it interesting, though. So he walks into the hotel room with the camera. He sees himself in the mirror. And he says, look, it's the D-Man. I mean, who does that?
Scotty J,
Kyle, and Dustin Diamond. So then the girls, like, make out, and the girls get it on, and then he joins in, and then blah, 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 blah. And then he does, and then I will not be more specific
here. Is that the end? Is the not specific thing, is that the very end?
You know, there is the act which cannot be named, which supposedly is the climactic moment of the whole thing, the act that cannot be mentioned or described. And that's a letdown. It doesn't even happen.
What?
No, he doesn't even happen. It's the act which I will not refer to or that I will not
the one that they've been
elaborate on in any way. It does not happen.
No
way. He mentions it. He references it. He uses the name of this act. But he never engages in it. It does not happen.
Any part of the act?
No. He, like, mimes that he might do this act, and then it never happens. It does not happen. And yet at the end... Oh, I'm sorry, Scotty, don't ruin the movie. Yeah, I'm sorry. What am I doing? But at the end, he tries to give himself points for it. Let me play the outro here. And then we'll break, and then we'll have Peter Carlin. Let's see here. This is the ending. So this is his outro in the hallway after he is, sent these girls who clearly are just like, and they're like the worst actresses. And let me just, here's one more thing. Look, I'm not going to lie. As men watch porn. It's just a package deal, you know, like women and kittens or whatever it is. Women and like, I don't know, women and Oprah, men and porn. And I mean, there is a particular type of bad acting that is porn acting. And everybody out there who's seen any degree of pornography, you know what I'm talking about. There's acting, there's good acting, there's bad acting, and then there is porn acting. And porn acting is, you'll forgive the pun, a specific flavor. It is a specific stripe of terrible, terrible thespianic ability. So the girls engage in this terrible sort of, oh, I don't know if I should. And he's like, come on, you know, why did you buy it if you're not going to take it out of the package and use it on somebody? Oh, maybe I will. You know, and it's just, I can feel myself getting stupider as I'm watching this. So then so Screech finishes up and the girls, they do their whole thing. And then he does the ending here. And let's see, I'm pretty sure I bleeped this, but let's see. This is the outro, which he films in the hallway, I guess, or whatever, outside the hotel room.
Oh, gentlemen,
I'm so smug and pleased with myself. Listen to my terrible acting.
Okay, let's just go over a couple things here. I don't have my list in front of me, but...
There is no list! There is no list, there is no group. This is the last time I'm ever talking about this movie, by the way. There is no list, there is no group.
I did keep track, and it's on video record. We know that we get 3 points for every position. We'll tally those up later. Not important right now. The important thing is to point out the things that I did accomplish that are unique. Like the for instance. Anyway, not only did I get a which we all know is worth at least 15 points.
Okay, that's the act that cannot be named. Which doesn't happen, ever, by the way.
Points. I got 10 for the because it was definitely a surprise. It was not planned or prepared. I know I got 3 points for each of the positions. We'll wait till we get back to the headquarters and tally up.
Headquarters?
To the headquarters.
What a douche. Oh, my God. Is such desperate backpedaling.
Totally.
Oh.
We'll wait until I go to the bookcase and pull out the secret volume and turn the candelabra.
And then I give you the secret password.
And then I slide down the pole into our rock-lined cave of solitude.
All the bases to see where we come in, but I'm pretty sure I'm in the lead. Gentlemen, I have, as always, gone above and beyond the call of duty. I can't wait to see what Mark does to top this. He won't be able to come close, I'm sure, because was involved in mine. And
no, it wasn't.
Yeah, that's not on the point totals right now, but I think I've started the trend. I think that's worth at least 20 points. So we'll touch base later.
We'll do lunch.
Take a look at the footage now and tally up my scores. We'll get back. I'll make my submission, and we'll see who wins this month's polls. Gentlemen, this is the D-Man signing off. Oh, yeah. And I got to bang a bride and her bridesmaid.
Okay, Mark Paul Gosselaar should be getting a lawyer right now and suing Dustin Diamond's ass for insinuating that he's there.
Oh, gentlemen.
It's the worst thing ever. There you go.
Brad, tell Mark Paul Gosselaar to sue his ass. Take what little money he has. Do it.
All right. We should break here. We'll come back with Peter Carlin and Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up next hour. Coming up next hour, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. Coming up next hour, we have listener Ryan, who's going to be here with his toilet. Because the show's just not classy enough today. Then we'll be honking horns and making zany sound effects and playing Battle of the Sexes. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Come on, diploma. Better be a Roma. Check my head. Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. In just a few moments, we welcome Peter Carlin to the Rick Emerson Show. But first, ladies and gentlemen, bow before your president, prophet, seer, and revelator, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Mission accepted at least three or four people. Dennis Kucinich, who ran unsuccessfully for president in 2004, is going to run again.
Woo!
Is a liberal, anti-war congressman. He says he's running because he disagrees with the way some of his fellow Democrats are handling the war in Iraq.
He's one of those guys you could impersonate to get chicks, by the way, because I can't remember what he looks like, what he sounds like, except that his head is sort of shaped like a light bulb. That's it. That's all. And his headquarters, his election headquarters, which was right by the Golden Door or whatever that store is on Hawthorne, always reeked of pot and had hippie music coming out of it.
All right. Well, Sandra Weiss spent the better part of a year in Iraq. She came out fine, but the scare of her life came recently in Illinois. She was collecting donations from a veterans group where she nearly died on a piece of candy. She just popped a lightsaber into her mouth, and she slipped on some ice and then started choking. It was a few scary minutes as it took firefighters to get help to get the candy out of her throat. They believe she was unconscious for possibly 2 minutes.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense. First of all, are we really doing news stories about a woman choking on a lifesaver?
We are, yes.
He says with a tone of voice indicating I should not challenge him. Secondly, if you're choking on a piece of candy for 2 minutes...
You're talking about it.
Okay. No, that's... Okay, that's a fair point. I have no response. Except to say...
Longer than I did. Mine was like 2 sentences.
If this really is a disproportionate amount of response that I'm doing on this, but she choked on this candy for a couple of minutes. Who called the fire department? B, if you saw someone choking on a lifesaver, would your first thought be to call the fire department? And C, wouldn't she be dead by the time the fire department got there and extracted the candy from her mouth?
It was a lifesaver?
There are holes
in it.
How ironic that you would choke on a lifesaver.
Maybe she can breathe through the hole.
That's possible.
That's okay.
This deserves a follow-up.
Who would call the fire department?
Concerned passerby?
See, this is why I don't eat hard
candy. This happened in Chicago. There are people around.
Where life is cheap. All right. Anyway, I still have the idea of choking on a lifesaver. I'm still stuck on that. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Some quick talk about toys. KB Toys... says there are a couple of items that people are scrambling to get their hands on this year. This is B. Going to B.
All right. Excellent. Okay.
Toys.
Yes.
Popular ones.
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
Oh, I'm supposed to play this now.
The GMX Elmo, obviously, you know, is a runaway hit and has been since it was introduced. And the Kid Tough digital camera from Fisher-Price is just gangbusters. Just a great item.
It's gangbusters. You know, talk about... never mind.
Yes, this is not the Tickle Me Elmo, but it's the TMX Elmo.
There's inventory. It comes in, and it literally goes out. I mean, it's one of those things where sometimes you have to be there at the right time. But we're doing everything possible to make sure that we have enough product, for our customers right up through Christmas.
We're doing everything possible to recycle the same 5 stories that we have every year at this time.
I don't know. An updated version of the board game Monopoly makes a great gift for the older children.
They decided that they were going to change dramatically the original game. And so instead of Boardwalk, it's got Broadway. And from one city, but from multiple cities around the United States.
Imagine that.
Let's go buy Monopoly now and play it for hours and days. All right.
Well, that's it, unless you want to hear about MTV's New Year's Eve party.
Well, I feel bad. Peter Carlin's been hanging. So well, let's do this, and we'll come back at the top of the hour.
I think that'll do it justice.
Okay. No,
we can't have Peter Carlin waiting.
Well, that's right. Well, no, I'm saying, and are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being truthful.
Yes.
Okay. And because we want to allot the proper amount of time to this MTV story as well.
Yes.
I don't wish to give it short shrift, as the kids say.
And perhaps he might want to talk about it himself.
Okay. Let me, hold on, let's welcome now, with the whole, just 1 second here. All right, let's, no. Wait. In the best part is you can hear the doors, Tim just leaves. Okay, let's, Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian. Hello, sir.
Yo, hey.
Hey, what's up? Sorry about the wait there, brother.
It's okay.
That's okay. We had a lot more time on Thursday when we were going to talk to you. Oh, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, you totally blew me off.
That's
on
not
Monday.
I didn't totally blow you off. It's not like I just didn't call. I did have, I'm not like a guy where I just fade out the relationship on some relationship and never call you again. I called. We called. I explained that it wasn't a good time. I needed space.
Yeah, but the flowers.
Rick Emerson was feeling smothered and needed some time to find himself, Peter Carlin.
You needed some space.
I did. I needed some.
You had to get up early the next morning?
Yes, I had been. I have a meeting, baby. 6 a.m. That I'd been to the program but never been to me and so forth. All right. Well, what's up in the world of Peter Carlin? How are you, sir? How are things? How's life? How's tricks, as they say?
Everything is good.
I don't understand what that phrase, how's tricks, means. What tricks are they referring to? And while I'm on the subject of phrases I don't understand, what is this school that everyone insists they're not talking out of? When they say, I don't wish to talk out of school here,
mm-hmm.
What does that even mean?
It means that you're not telling tales out of school.
Okay, what school?
Where you attend. Matriculating.
Okay, you're just trying to cover. You're just trying to cover up the fact that you don't know what this phrase means, and you're doing it with using big $5 words, as my dad would say. I just don't understand what school it is, and why are you not supposed to tell tales when you're, out of the school?
Because what happens in third grade language arts stays in third grade language arts.
All right. My other question, and I'm asking this of everybody who comes on the program today: does cheese go bad? Discuss.
How much time are we talking about?
I don't know. Not a thousand years.
Geological time?
No, like if you bought some cheese, because
mm-hmm.
Sarah the other day bought a sandwich, and the sandwich had a bit of an odd taste, and she was heard to wonder aloud.
No, it was lasagna.
It was lasagna, and she was heard to wonder aloud if the cheese had gone bad.
Because it tasted it was weird. It tasted almost chemical and a little rubbery.
See, and I said that I didn't believe cheese went bad.
Had it been refrigerated?
Yes, it was refrigerated, I bought it frozen in the morning, then I stuck it in the refrigerator, and I ate it maybe an hour after I got here.
I'm saying in a larger sense, though, cheese, the worst you can say about cheese is that the outer covering gets some mold on it, but then you cut that away and it's fine. The cheese itself never goes bad, does it?
Except for the moldy part.
Yeah, but if you cut that away, the cheese itself, it has an indefinite shelf life, to my understanding.
Here's my question, though. I could never eat lasagna for lunch. That would be the end of my day.
Oh, I eat it for lunch almost every day.
Well, because you get that thing I do where then you go need to like hibernate and sleep for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get my wife has termed. I guess it's a term.
Oh, it gives me complete energy. I love it.
Yeah, see, I know I get the carb fatigue. That's exactly what I get. So, and all right. There you go. Thank you for tuning in to Hey Pam. AM860 today. Now here's the thing is that you and I fell into this great discussion the other day about The Wire, and I forget whether it was even based on one of your columns or just something you had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But see, then again, you wrote a great article about The Wire today, which I was actually only able to let myself read a part of because I am now completely caught up to the beginning of season 4, and so now I am waiting on HBO to start The Wire season 4 again from the beginning because I am so desperate to be good. It is, I'm saying for me, pound for pound, the best show on television. I would put it beyond The Sopranos at this point. I really would.
Yeah.
And that's not even based on season 4, which, as you said, it's fantastic.
It is.
And season 4 is... It is largely based, now I haven't watched any of it, but it's largely based on, it's children, right? It's based on kids.
It is.
And is this in any way related to the previous seasons? In other words, is there any sort of a carryover from the previous story arcs?
Oh, of course. I mean, it takes place sort of within the same community, and so there are characters who, obviously their experiences and things that have happened in this neighborhood with these cops and dealers and politicians, I mean, sort of factors into what happens this year.
And the great thing about The Wire is that they take so much stuff that could just be cliche and just stuff that you've just seen a bit like McNulty, who's just sort of the hard-drinking Irish cop, and, you know, and he has the troubled marriage, and he plays fast and loose with the rules, and just stuff that in the wrong hands would just be so tired and just so tedious. It is just the heaviest, most dense, and when I say dense, I mean in a good way, just the richest program. It is But, God, such a downer, man. You watch that show and you just want to hang yourself sometime at the end of it.
That's entertainment.
No, it really, it's like drinking.
No, I felt exactly the same way. I would never want to watch it at night because I would get too upset.
And that's my thing is I was kind of power loading it on DVD, and the only time I had free time was at night. So I would watch like three episodes in one evening.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it's like you feel like you've just consumed a quart of gin and listened to the Nebraska album 100 times in a row.
Yeah. I watched 5.5 hours of it the other day. Like, just boom, 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 boom.
Now, are you in possession of season 4?
Every minute.
Now, see, that's a thing that you should learn.
Yeah, I knew where this was headed.
All of these calls are basically just thinly veiled opportunities for me to get to swindle you out of free things.
Yeah.
So that's a thing you should lend to Rick Emerson so that he can be caught up on this.
It crossed my mind.
I'm just saying that I would appreciate that. And then, so the other thing I did that, and then I watched, in the course of about 3 weeks, I watched the entire last season of The Shield. And is The Shield coming back for one more season or two, or do we know yet?
Ooh, I believe one.
See, and that's the best thing, man. They, and I very rarely say this, it's a strange thing to say, but that show is so good that I hope they end it soon.
So good you can't stand it anymore.
Well, just because I don't want to see it sullied. I mean, and we could probably list right now television shows that have overstayed their welcome, and that where they had a chance to kind of just go out on top, and then they overstayed it. And Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a great example of that. A show that was nearly flawless for 5 years, and then the last two seasons just stunk up the joint. I mean, it was just terrible. And The Shield is so good, and every season of The Shield. Tops the one before, even when I think it can't be done. And this season with Forest Whitaker was just so great that I want the whole thing to be done and finished so that I can enshrine it and say that it was perfect from beginning to end.
Yes, I know what you mean. It is good. It is good when a show knows when it's time to go.
This is one of those conversations where I'm postulating about things and then you're just reaching into your bag of one syllable answers.
Yeah. you set me up for that. No, I don't know. I'm sorry. It's just that everything you say is the truth, brother. I'm just in the amen corner.
That is true. All right. I know you're kind of short on time here. So the one thing I do.
I never said that.
No.
Did you say that?
No,
you just made that up. You're just trying to get rid of me.
That's not true.
See, again, with the feelings.
No, see, here's the thing. I can sense. When you are when you're
simultaneously searching Google for things that I need to write about.
And that's the other thing. I can sense when you're when you have one eye on the clock because you have actual work you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I
keep yelling, hurry it up, hurry it up.
I can tell. Look, be glad you weren't here earlier. We were talking about the hideous Dustin Screech Diamond sex video. So,
excuse me?
You know Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell?
Okay.
You know he made a sex video.
For fun and profit.
Well, for fun at least, the profit part remains to be seen. I don't know what, I got to see it for free. So, hey, I'll lend you that in exchange for season 4 of The Wire.
You're on, brother.
You'll get to hear Dustin Screech Diamond say things such as...
Work the mojo, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Come on, how can you deny the appeal of that?
Who is his co-star?
Some skanks. Well, seriously, what
you of course read the news about Nicole Richie.
Oh yeah, 85 pounds when she was arrested.
5'1".
And I don't know if this makes me a bad person, but I find her strangely alluring in that mugshot. I am not attracted to her in any way. I have never, ever, ever been attracted to her. As somebody once said, it'd be like doing a bag of antlers. So I am. In no way am I attracted to that girl, but I will say, in a relative sense, that mugshot is the best she's looked in a long time.
You want to save her. I can tell.
I don't really. I mean,
You want to drive her to rehab.
Wait, you'll also get to hear Dustin Diamond make this noise. Wait.
Mm.
How great is that? See, that right there, that was worth the time it took you to call up, wait on hold, come on the air, Peter Carlin.
Yeah, that was awesome.
However worthless the rest of my observations may have been, that right there.
Is this like a homemade type of trip?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But the worst and best, see now I've discovered what will get you interested in the phone call. Actual television shows, no. But talking about Dustin Diamond in his sex video, yes. Here's the worst thing about this videotape is that this is my read on this as a pundit. My read on this, having watched the whole long ass 55 minutes, is that he wanted to get himself back in the news, shed his squeaky clean image, blah 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 blah. So I believe that he hired these two women because the conceit of it is he has claimed repeatedly that he is part of some celebrity home sex tape trading circle where he and other celebrities exchange tapes of, like, women they have seduced and then filmed in various states of love. And
working the mojo, as it were.
Working the mojo. But here's the thing is he films this whole introduction where he is supposedly speaking to the men in this group. And it's so clear that there are no other men. There is no group. There are no other people involved in this. It is that is just a backstory he has fabricated to justify releasing this video. It's so obvious that there is no group of guys he exchanged. It's just Dustin Diamond paying some women to have sex with him and then releasing it. It's just terrible. And purportedly, the women are like a bride and one of her bridesmaids. And it's just, and seriously, there's like a woman. He says at the end, he goes, and the best part about this video is I get to bang a bride and her bridesmaid. And then he calls himself, the D-Man repeatedly throughout this. Let me, now I have to play. Listen to this part of this intro. And tell me if you agree with my estimation here that he is, because he claims that this tape got out accidentally, that he did not release it.
Uh-huh.
Again, he claims it is only for the, pardon my pun, internal use of this tape trading club he belongs to. Now tell me if he references this club way too many times for someone who is supposedly speaking only to members of this club. Let's see here. In order to prove it really exists, listen to this.
It's the D-Man here checking in with the Brotherhood of the Bros. I've got something special tonight for our little club. Apparently, Bachelorettes, you know how they love the comedy shows, which they went great tonight, both shows. Thank you for asking, because I know you care. But I have something special tonight, especially for Mark. Bro, I'm going to top anything any of us have done yet for our little group. Bachelorette Party has invited me upstairs at this very hotel to the suites. And the bride-to-be and one of her bridesmaids, possibly two, I don't know yet, are going to be hanging out tonight. The other girls are going to go out and hit up some bars. But the other two want to hang out with me. So we're going to see how this goes. I'm going to bring the camera along. Hopefully I'll get to use it. And if it does, I'll score some big points. And you guys will score some big laughs. Let the party begin.
So there you go.
Yeah. So, I think he took some of that from the preamble of the Constitution.
Seriously. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It really, and I get...
The references to bros, for instance, in our club.
And okay, see, now I have to play the ending. At the ending, he refers to, I swear to God, like, and then we have to, and then Sarah's telling me we have to wrap this up. The mom figure is stepping in, demanding that I come in for dinner. He references, like, a headquarters they made up. Let's see if I got the,
Oh, gentlemen. Okay, let's just go over a couple things here. I don't have my list in front of me, but I do keep track, and it's on video record. We know that we get 3 points for every position. We'll tally those up later. Not important right now. The important thing is to point out... the things that I did accomplish that are unique. Like the for instance. Anyway, not only did I get a and which we all know is worth at least 15 points, I got 10 for the because it was definitely a surprise. It was not planned or prepared. I know I got 3 points for each of the positions. We'll wait till we get back to the headquarters and tally up all the bases to see where we come in, but I'm pretty sure I'm in the lead.
So there you go.
Whoa. Who else would be in the club?
I don't know. He has implied that Mark Paul Gosselaar was one of his co-stars on Saved by the Bell is in this club.
Uh-huh.
But I believe that may be news to Mark Paul Gosselaar and anyone. So, because there is no club, there is only Dustin Diamond attempting to pay the rent with something that I really... There's not enough eye bleach in the world. Let me tell you, my friend. And Sarah, the same... And we have one of our fine sponsors dropped off the Screech DVD. They also dropped off the Tom Sizemore DVD, and it was Sarah's job to watch that, and she has failed me on that.
I will try and watch it tonight.
If only because...
I'm not really in a porny mood, though. I don't really want to watch it.
A porny mood?
Maybe... Peter, you want to watch it?
Peter, do you want to watch the Tom Sizemore porn?
Or you want to watch One Night in China?
What was the no on Tom Sizemore, but I don't, what's the other one?
How great is it, by the way, that he's not a porn star, but his name is Tom Sizemore? Come on! No one finds that as great as I do.
He's yucky.
No. It's fantastic.
China's that big, like... Okay. She's that big, like, scary-looking WWE wrestler woman.
I thought it was a different China.
No, that's her.
Jeez.
Okay. I would like to apologize for this whole segment, Peter Carlin, and for bringing you this much closer to death for no reason.
That's fine.
All right, my friend. Well, next week I'll have actual... We never did get to talk about heroes, but we'll do that next week.
Yeah, better luck next time.
All right. I'd like to leave you with this thought. All right, thank you, Peter Carlin.
Right.
There you go. Listen, he hates us.
It's true.
Fantastic.
Work the mojo.
503-733-2970. You know what noise you're going to hear in your sleep tonight, by the way? I think I'm just going to call your cell phone randomly throughout the evening from different numbers. Just...
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks,
remember when we were calling you, but you're still going, Yeah. Good times. All right, back after this. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later this hour, we destroy listener Ryan's toilet to see what lurks within. Stay right there.